Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This day of Pentecost, a day when Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us in the world. In the reading that we heard from Acts, the apostles were all gathered in one place, and suddenly there was from heaven a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. That violent wind is the same violent wind that we describe in Genesis as the Ruach, as the breath of God, that passes over the waters and over us. It is God's inspiration breathing into us the gift of the Spirit. In the account in Acts, they were all gathered together, and suddenly everyone began to hear the word of God in their own language. Galileans, they said, are you not Galileans? How is it that we all hear in our own native language? And then I love this, the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the Mesopotamians and those from Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and Cyrene, Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, every one of them hear that inspiration of God and the words about God's deeds of power. There was no separation. There was no picking of who would receive this gift and who would not. There was no racial bias. There was no economic bias. It's like the story of the farmer who goes out and just scatters seed all over the place. God scatters God's breath on the whole world. I find this text absolutely incredible and touching. I am attracted to the breath of God. And for these days when so many people who have COVID-19 are struggling to catch their breath, it is important that we hear of this free spreading of God's holy inspiration for all of us. I feel it acutely. I have sleep apnea. And so I don't fear much of anything except not being able to breathe because I struggle every night. Years and years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had stopped breathing and I could not start again. I rolled over onto all fours and I gasped and gasped for a moment, but I could not catch my breath. It was the first time I wondered, is this it? I'm going to die at 2 o'clock in the morning on all fours on my cheap bed in Lawrence, Kansas? This is it? And when finally I could take that first breath, it was like being recreated. God breathes God's Spirit on all of humanity and declares to every single one of us that we have life. All of you are aware of what happened to Mr. Floyd this last week. There have been protests and there have been marches. There has been a lot of political posturing. There's been a tremendous amount of hand-wringing and side-taking and blaming. But I keep coming back. I
keep coming back to Mr. Floyd on the ground, struggling to bring in that breath that God had given him, begging. Begging for breath. If Mr. Floyd was just one isolated case, or if this was not something that we had not seen thousands of times and hundreds of times before, if we had not seen it just weeks before in the death of another black man, then maybe we could just dismiss it. Maybe we could at the church just say, well, this is another day. Accident. The fact of the matter is, if you are in Mr. Floyd's situation, you know it's no accident. People are dying every day. Deaths of injustice. It's as if we have decided that the breath of God should be regulated by our politics or our race, by our color or our ethnicity, that God's breath, which is given so freely on the day of Pentecost, should somehow be meted out only to those that we decide deserve it. All of which is untrue and dangerous. It's dangerous because it puts us in the place of God. It's dangerous because it allows us to ignore God's Holy Spirit that is put in us, the scripture says. Becomes a part of us, a very part of us in the way that in every second we draw breath, in every second God's Spirit resides in us for peace. And we can no more be followers of Christ and put away peace, then we can simply exhale and not breathe it again. To put our responsibility for our neighbor away, to pretend as if it is not our responsibility, is a kind of death, a ceasing to breathe. No, it was spoken through the prophet Joel, Peter says, as he says his sermon. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon the servants, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Maybe it's our time to prophesy. Having been filled with that spirit, prophesy to the truth that every person is created equal and is equally loved by God. Maybe it is time for us to prophesy that we have a part in the ongoing racism that exists within our country. That we have a part as people of privilege for maintaining systems and laws that allow for others to be killed. As we look out on this Pentecost day, we are reminded of the Holy Spirit that comes in fire and in breath, not to destroy, but to renew. Not to undo, but to reclaim. That Spirit that fills us with hope and joy and love comes as divided tongues of fire appearing on every one of us and calls us out of our complacency and our silence into an uncomfortable kind of spirituality
where love lives, and where everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not easy work. It's not sometimes even joyful work. But it is the work of God that we proclaim this Christ crucified in our very being, in our very lives. To stand up and to speak when called. To stand between others in danger. And to remind the world that God's Spirit was poured equally out on everyone, on you, and on me, and on Mr. Ford.